Troops, how we doing? I'm joined tonight on the podcast by the Essex Eagle.
Love that.
Johnny Palmer from Get Me Moving fame. Johnny, how you doing, brother?
I'm all good. All the better to see you this evening, John.
Yeah, I know. Let's just get straight into it, mate. Get Me Moving. Who is it and what's it about and where's the future?
Yeah, sure. So Get Me Moving is, so it's started by my business partner and I in December 2016, I think that's right, yeah. We've been going for about 2 and a bit years now. We've got a team of 7 now. We help estate agents and solicitors make the moving process easier for their clients while just reducing admin for them. Up until now, there's been so many changes in terms of what we wanted to do. We started off initially B2C, but now we found out that B2B is better for us. So business to business. So working with estate agents and solicitors.
Yeah.
And we've got some big developments going on this year that I can't talk too much about,
but we've
got some big things going on this year that we know are going to rock the industry. So our main vision, which has always been the main thing from the start, is to help every home mover in the UK have a happy home moving experience. If people have moved home before, they'll know that it's a stressful time, you know, it's costly. So the idea is to be able to give control back to the person moving home and help them move home quicker.
Awesome. How did it start? And how did you get from yourself and your business partner to a team of 7? That's good growth in a few years' time.
Yeah. So we were both at an online estates agent called eMove. And we decided to bring the conveyancing side of it in-house to eMove. So what that meant was that we were doing the selling for the conveyancing in the actual company, eMove, rather than outsourcing it to another third-party company. After about 7 days, we had increased revenue by 70%. And after 8 months, we were doing 20% of the company's revenue. So there was this national firm that we were doing 20% revenue for. So I remember there was this time in the lift, because we had to get a lift up to the office, and my business partner and I, we just looked at each other one day and just thought, do you know what, if we can do this for this company of such a size, we should be able, like, you know, we can do this ourselves. So that's when it started. We started off in my business partner's flat. So it was just like,
love it.
It was, yeah, so it was proper hustling in that flat there for about, I guess, 6 months. Started off really well, but after about 6 months, we lost all of our customers. So
it was a
big hit on us for the foot, because we thought it was doing really, really well. And then it got to this 6 month and I was just like, shit, okay, well, we've lost everything. We've got to start back. But I'll be honest with you, John, that's when we grew the foundation so much stronger.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we're very visual people. So we know exactly what it is that we want. So we have our end goal in mind, and we basically have a list of the jobs and roles within that company. What would it be like to have a company of that size with the people that we need? And as we go on, as we're able to fill out them roles, we can start delegating the jobs that need to be done and allow us to focus on what we're best at. I think that the thing that we've realized is that just stick to your strengths. There's no point trying to go against the grain. Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah.
And that's worked out until now.
No, that's a fair play. And I think a lot of people like the idea of being an entrepreneur, and they quite like to say these words. I hear it all the time now as well. Like, oh, I've got a business. I'm like, oh, really? Tell me about it. Oh, well, I've got a Facebook page. Yeah, that's not having a business, mate. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a great story that you tell your friends. It's not a business. Like, you've got to be in the game, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have so much respect for people who have started up and are running a business, because I went into it quite naive and I didn't really understand what I guess would be involved. I just, like you just said, I just thought it'd be quite a cool thing to be an entrepreneur, you know, start a business. And it hit home after the first month. You're like, shit, I've got to get my ass in gear. This is, you know, it's me or no one else. You can't rely on us, which is why I'm actually quite glad to have my business partner as well, because we can bounce off each other. But yeah, it's all or nothing, which is why I every single business owner that I meet, I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, you've got to be hungry, haven't you? In fact, you haven't just got to be hungry, you've got to be starving. and that's the word I use now when people say to me, it's relentless. I say, no, it ain't relentless, man. I'm starving. And until I'm full, I'm not going to stop, and even then I'll still keep going. But I respect that. I respect the fact that you lost that on 6 months and then you had to sort of go again. Where is your office? And you said you have 7 people working for you. What sort of roles do they do?
So we're based in Chelmsford. So I'm based in Chelmsford in Essex. Our office is in Margaretting. Yeah. It's a lovely converted farm area.
Nice.
So the drive to work is awesome. We've got, so the seven of us, obviously my business partner and I, we're, you know, working on the business, running the business. We have a sales team that with us, Ollie, who's another partner in the company. He runs up the sales team, is the best salesperson I know, which is, again, you know, we're hiring into these roles the people who are the best at what they do. So Ollie's, you know, he's the best salesman. And so he's running up that team, and we're now working on the marketing team. So that's all within that office. And we're now, as of next month, we'll have another 2 BDMs, so business development managers, to hit up more clients for us, which is why we've now got a couple of bases in London, in Bank and Moorgate, where trying to get involved more, I guess, into the London market to try and sort of grow in that area as well.
What's it looking like property-wise down your neck of the woods? Is it quite expensive to rent and to buy? What sort of money are people paying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, where I am, I guess, it completely depends. In London, you're talking millions for it's crazy.
Yeah.
Down by me, again, it's really expensive. I mean, it's crazy when people say what you can get here for 300.
Yeah.
Is pretty. You can probably get like a 1 or 2 bed flat. But 300,000 up north, right? Around you.
Yeah. You buy half my estate for 300,000. That's no joke. But obviously, Essex and the commute to London's not that bad, is it? So I take it people choose the Essex lifestyle, but still work in the city. So it sort of fits the trends, doesn't it? And obviously, with certain TV programs and people pretending to be rock stars, it's all good for you because it makes the area lift, doesn't it? You know, people want to, you know. I'm not mad at people for what they want to do. If that's a life they want to leave, it's you just play at the advantage. If you know that show probably has raised the area and people thought, oh wow, let's go there and let's live there. And obviously, the more richer people and the more well off people go into an area, then the area value rises, doesn't it? So
that's it.
You just play to the market's given.
That's it, exactly.
I'll tell you what. Let's just touch on that. What do you think of that show? And
The only
one
is Essex.
Yeah. How sort of true to life is it? And do you know anyone that's on it or anyone that's been on it?
I know people that are on it. I mean, I don't like know them as in like, my best mates. I'll talk like this. I know people that are on it. The way that they live, it's not an exact replica of how life is like, but it is very, 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 very close. I'm not going to say anything bad about it because
I think it's a good show, man.
I mean, I think that people get a bit of a misconception about, because I think that some of the people that are on that show come out to be a bit, I guess, dumb. But I mean, honestly, I think a lot of us, or I say us, generalize, play to our strengths, because it is seen like that. Obviously, you're playing a role, I guess, of what an Essex person's like, and that can actually be quite helpful. But I'm looking to set something up with a friend of mine where we're trying to make use of that coverage in where we are in Brentford.
Absolutely.
In a business sense as well, because obviously there's a lot of people want to, you know, see about it and watch it. So
absolutely.
A business plan to you know, try and take some of that and maybe turn it on its head a little bit.
Yeah, they certainly did a lot for the area, as in they raised the profile. I mean, there's actually a lot of people on there who are sort of entrepreneurial as well, isn't there? A lot of the women have sort of different shops and clothes lines, and the fellas are doing this, that, and t'other, aren't they? So, you know, fair play to them. I know they get on that TV show, but it always seems like they go on from there to something else. I mean, Gemma Collins, you know, King Kong couldn't stop her, do you know what I mean? She's an absolute juggernaut, isn't she? She just keeps rolling through the project, so...
They're making use of what they've got, and you know, I'd never say a bad thing about them, because if I was in the same situation, then I've got to go on TV, then you can then make a career out of it. 100%.
No, absolutely. You know, someone said, you want an opportunity to be a star, and they're like, yeah, let's go. And I mean, they've gone to another level, haven't they? And No, it's the same up here with the Geordie Shaw mob. Do you know what I mean? They've all sort of gone on and done fairly well for themselves. I mean, you know, how they represent themselves on TV will last forever, and they have to live with the consequences. But fair play for them for making a living. I mean, you know, a few of them are driving around in flash motors and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, a lot of people see that as success. What would you see as success? What's your goal at the end of it?
So success to me isn't something that I guess can be shown. So yeah. Success to me isn't the cars, it's not the house, it's not the money, it's nothing like that. I think that is good, and it's a good part of being successful if you're going to look at it that way. Mm. Success to me is enjoying what you do and being happy. I don't think I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and he said, well, we had literally this exact same conversation. If I was a cleaner, would you see me as successful? I said, well, if you're happy in that job and you enjoy doing what you're doing, then 100%, because there's people out there that are, you know, multimillionaires, billionaires, and they're unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, you're on this life to, I guess, push yourself and achieve stuff, but you know, you've got to be happy in what you do.
No, that's a valid point. You know, if you're a cleaner, as long as you can turn around and say, well, I'm the best cleaner in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Just own it. I know someone like that who owns a cleaning business. And when I first met her, she's like, "Oh, I've got the best cleaning business in town here." Do you know what I mean? I was like, "Fair play." Do you know what I mean? I was like, "All right, don't want to fight you." but that's how you should always be. You know, like, you should never just accept, "Oh, well, I do this or I do that." But now that's a valid point. And how much do you dabble within social media, and what do you think about the whole sort of Insta brag and brag the book and all that sort of stuff? Like, people are leaving very, very double lives, aren't they? And they're sort of making themselves out to be things that they're not.
Yeah.
And I always think you can only blag it for so much before eventually you get found out. So how does your company utilize social media, and what have you got to be careful of?
So We obviously know that social media is a big thing. To grow your business, you need social media. I think that social media is going to, well, it is, has already taken over.
Yeah.
It's just completely, it's a part of it is completely free. So it's the best marketing tool that you can get, because almost everybody that you know is on it, your target audience is on it, whether it's going to be LinkedIn for business owners or solicitors, estate agents, or if it's going direct to customer for Facebook. So with what you do, people that are looking on their phones, they want to see you doing adventures and doing exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So I can imagine for you, it's really important as well. I mean, this next year we're going to be hitting social media hard. We're dabbling with it a little bit, but we're trying to grow our team around it, who are the experts in what they do, just so that we can make the most out of it. Because I don't want to give it a half-hearted attempt.
Yeah, no, you never.
I mean, I see your stuff, and going back to what we were saying, giving 100%. This is why I like what you do, because you give 100%. There is no holding back with you, John. Which is why it's great.
I can get people to give up in a car park, mate, off just a 2-minute speech.
Oh yes,
that's not a knock on my character; it's a knock on their character. How does an estate agent, or where you are going, how do you make the best use of social media? What's the platform that really works for you to get your sort of message out there, that either this property is available or this is available? Or how do you use it better than the next guy or the next company? Do you know what I mean? What is it that yous are doing that's sort of different?
Yeah, so, I mean, for us, it is LinkedIn.
Okay.
Most of our clients are on LinkedIn. It's not really, we don't really get much business from Facebook and Instagram, but it's good to be able to, I guess, keep other people updated, because somebody who might know an estate agent might be on Facebook and they might recommend them. So I might go down that route, but LinkedIn's, it's a big one for us, and there's not much of our competition that are using it, I guess, to its best of its abilities.
Yeah.
I think that LinkedIn, again, is a very useful tool when done properly. So again, this is something that we're working at the moment, just to make sure that we're making the most out of LinkedIn. And I think the main point is that LinkedIn is there for connecting with other people. So what we've started doing is just sending messages, commenting people's posts, because that way you get your name out there and then start to know you. And you know, it's even through, you know, I've met people through Facebook and LinkedIn, and it's such a not easy platform to meet with someone, but if you just say, look, let's go for a coffee, let's go for a chat, you don't know where that can end up.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, sort of pushing the message, but if you sort of reply to them, you have to have a two-way dialogue. There's a lot of people who I see who make a lot of mistakes in just turn the light on.
Yeah.
I was going to say, mate, it's gone incredibly dark. There we go. Yeah, it's all right. No, it's all right. That's just how it goes. Hang on. I'll do the same. 2 seconds.
Yeah, no problem. I have a light over my head now.
Sorry about that, Cam. It just went incredibly dark. Yeah, LinkedIn's a great platform, but it does take time, and it's not quite as easy as Facebook or Instagram to get real traction. And the ads are really expensive, aren't they? Have you gone down that road yet, trying to boost posts and stuff like that with LinkedIn?
I haven't started that yet.
Yeah,
LinkedIn, no. But
it's expensive, and the targeting process is a little bit sort of trickier, but from what I'm sort of reading and understanding, if you want to try and target a certain person or a certain job role,
yeah,
then that's where it's done, is on LinkedIn. So that's interesting. No traction on Instagram. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because of our clientele. I mean, for example, the average solicitor owner is probably 40 to 60 years old.
Right.
They're not typically using Instagram, maybe Facebook.
No. Yeah.
they're not taking posts and selfies.
No,
so,
should be.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. So this is why we're staying level in everything we do.
Mm.
We want to try and bring all of that into what we're doing, because I think that it's going to happen someday. We need to be at the front of that.
Yeah, I think whoever uses that technology the best early on, they'll be the ones that get attraction. Like, maybe it's not the short game, maybe it's not this year or next year, but
yeah,
5 years down the line, it'd be like, yeah, we started doing stories and we started doing little things, and you know, we really sort of jazzed it up. Like, just something little, like handing the keys over to a new set of clients, the new tenants, and that sort of stuff. Like, sharing people's happy moments. Do you know what I mean? I think that's, you're telling a story, aren't you? You're basically saying, this could be you.
Yeah.
This could be your, this, we could be doing this for you in a few months' time.
That's it.
Get in touch. You can have that one, by the way, for free next
time. I was going to say, you're starting to sound like Gary Vee, John.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to Gary Vee, actually, because that's how me and you sort of got talking, because I just, when we met, for those who don't know, when we met in Morocco, I'd had like the world's longest day, and I was a bit sort of fuming, because like,
you were,
I've just got like a bit of a sort of, I like to do things in a certain way, and like landing off a flight with my kit all over the place, and then someone saying, oh, let's go out for a meal, I'm like, yeah, is it all right if I wash my feet first? But like, I had a word with myself and I cracked on, but we sort of got talking, and I just knew straight away, I can just know, I get like an energy from someone. Like, and they always do the acid test. They always say, do you listen to Gary Vee? And as soon as someone says, yeah, I do, I'm like, ah, game on, because this guy will be on the same level as me.
We ended up talking about Gary Vee for hours. That was the first night we had the big day, like a big day walking.
We chatted about Gary Vee till about 4 in the morning. And I'm constantly listening to Gary Vee. And I think, I don't know if you've seen it, but I put a post on something saying, Gary, save a date in your diary, 27th of July, 2025. You're coming hiking with me in the Lake District. Mark that one in your diary.
Love that.
And yeah, what do you get from Gary Vee? And why is it he sort of just gets to you, and what the message that he puts out?
So I tend to actually flip between a lot of these people. So Gary Vee is the main one for me. The one thing that I like about Gary Vee is that he's all about the hustle, the grind, putting the work in. The main thing that I like from Gary is that he talks about what you're just talking about. You don't expect short term rewards.
Yeah.
You're in it for the long game. So just stay at the top of what you're doing. Don't buy all this crap that you don't need.
Yeah.
So, you know, like all these people try and make themselves feel good, but you're not doing anything with it. So it's all about the long game. And that's the one thing that I've got to get from Gary Vee. Just his attitude towards everything. It's very similar to you. You know, you just don't give a shit, do you? And make the market come to you rather than you go to the market.
Yeah. I mean, I got, someone told me about him, and I remember literally sitting there listening about an hour of just pure fire, and I was like, wow,
it's just pure fire, isn't it?
It's absolutely everything he says is just like, yeah, and I say it now all the time, accountability.
Yeah,
as long as you understand that everything that goes wrong is your fault,
yeah,
regardless of whatever it is, you'll always win, because it's like, well, I'll take control of that and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's great. Who else do you sort of listen to when you're listening to other people? Let's give them a whirl.
So it's Gary V, a guy called Grant Cardone. He offers I don't know if you've heard of him, but he offers such a good perspective on everything, because he is he's not the opposite to Gary V, but he also says, very similar to you, just give it your all, don't give a fuck about anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just, because he's into real estate, and this American guy has got a great personality, and he's just all about just do you, like, you don't need to worry about, and just, so does this thing called 10X, where basically you go in hard, and it's like, you get 10 times the results. And so here's another good one, he's good, a guy called, well, I think I mentioned David Goggins to you before.
Yeah.
David Goggins is the man. He influenced me to do a marathon run 2 days after I decided to, and that was big. So David Goggins, who else do I listen to? I do a lot of reading, so stuff like a guy like Brian Tracy and Jim Rowan, these older people who I like to read their books, they all give, I guess, the secrets to success. And you know, my book collection is like a library to me, not so much as that I'll just sit there and go through the books, is that if I get into a situation, I know that I can go to a book, say I'm feeling not that motivated, there's a book called The Motivation Manifesto that I can read, and I'll be like, shit, yeah, just do this, just so that I don't make it harder myself. I just learn from what they're teaching.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's funny you should mention Davy Goggins, because I've just done like 5 days hard hiking, and on my fifth day, we was doing like grade 3 scrambles, which is proper naughty scrambling, like really naughty, sort of like, there's not much room for error, and sort of like around about 2 o'clock. I just remember thinking to myself, I'm absolutely done. Like the whole sort of 5 days had caught up on me.
Yeah.
And I was just stood there on the side of this mountain, like proper bent over. And like, I was with Chris Waldron and another guy called Paul Poole, who was the instructor. And I was just thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm not in a good spot right now. And then I sort of thought to myself, I was like, what would David Goggins say to me right now? And I was about to say to myself, like, he'd have said, like, John, what's the matter? Dave, I'm tired. Don't care, get on with it.
Get the fuck up. Go on.
Great story, John. Like, I just sort of had a word with myself, and he's like, I was thinking to myself, yeah, but I'd say, yeah, but Dave, I've done 5.5 days, man. Yeah, great story, John, but we're not finished yet, are we? We're starting to go. And I was quiet for about 10 minutes. And then I was like, right, he's right. What am I doing here? I'm bullshitting. I'm the eagle. I can't be going on like this. And I just pulled it out the bag. And, you know, it's all right to go to a place where you think, I'm done, I'm finished. Yeah. But again, I found another 10-15% to smash on. And it's probably what all these people teach about sort of mindset. Because again, you know, there's a lot of people out there, for me, they're faking it. And I see it all the time. And I'm like, oh, I'm itching to meet you on the hills, because I will absolutely terrorize you back to the dinosaur age.
CrossFit challenge.
It's time to get on with the show. But yeah, what is there anyone who you don't like, or you think I'm not so keen, or you know, I'm not asking you to put anyone on the spot, but what is it? No. What puts you off people in business? Like what puts you off them? Is it all a fancy bling? And
no, I mean, the thing that's put some people is, I think that very quickly you can tell who is real or not. And the way that I like to do business is I like to be very personal. The thing that I love most about business is the people that I get to meet and the people that I get to speak to, because obviously I'm in meetings like all day, every day. So I'm people understanding them, and straight away you can get to know who, I guess, is not being real, but who is being themselves. And I don't like doing business with people who aren't themselves.
Mm.
So that's the main thing that I look for. I mean, obviously you've got to be, I mean, obviously they've got their business in mind and they might have a front to hide something, whatever it is. But I think that if you're real, then everything is just easier.
Yeah, well, there's a few people playing the game, isn't there? And I think once you start to get past the game a little bit, you tend to find out who's who, like, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I ask you quite a lot about the stuff that you do, and you say, I wouldn't advertise it. I wouldn't do it if I wouldn't do it myself. What's the saying that you got?
Yeah. Don't ask someone to do something you can't or want to do yourself.
That's it. I love that. That is.
Yeah, because people
spot on.
Yeah, that is 100% a military saying, like an army saying. That is. And as well, we used to have a sergeant major who used to call himself the Ronsil man, because he would literally carry around a tin of Ronsil. Right,
yeah.
And say, yeah, they call me the Ronsil man because I do exactly what it says on the tin. Do you remember that all? It was like an old Google it later on. You laugh your tail. And all he ever used to say was, turn up at the right place, the right time, with the right equipment, and everything else will take care of itself. And that was his thing. He's like, I'm not the greatest soldier in the world, but I just live by three principles: right place, right time, right equipment.
Well, that's
and
that's
the rest is done. Ronsil man.
So many people use that for business as well. They say that the solution or the formula to success is opportunity met by training. Like, you need to be the best you, and then like you will just come across an opportunity and that will create the success.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I guess, very similar to that. So yeah, love that.
Yeah, it's very true. And I draw on all my strengths from people who I've met sort of back in the army days, and you know, and things that used to sort of make me laugh, do you know what I mean? And the, you know, we'll sort of touch on the adventure that we had a few weeks ago, and you know, we met in the car park, we had a bit of a chat about how it was going to go. I told you it was going to be hard, and lo and behold, 20 minutes later we're on a pretty steep incline, aren't we?
Yeah,
and people are finding out a lot about themselves.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But predominantly, it's worth it. Now, for me, I can't give it the big time spiel about going hard and going up mountains and then meet you in the car park, and then I'm struggling at the back, hanging out. Do you know what I mean? Because you'd be like, wow, what a disappointment. But
yeah,
personal pride and personal sort of the way I am, I'd never let that happen. But it's important. So, moving away from business, personal wise. What sort of things are your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing? What you know, when you put away from the office and the suits off, what do you enjoy doing?
Well, it's not a hard one, but because I do spend so much time with the business, the time that I spend away, it's so precious to me. So I do a lot of working out. I used to do a lot of running, but I stopped that because I'm trying to bulk up a little bit.
Right, yeah.
But I guess the main thing that I enjoy most is being in the mountains. I don't think, you can't put me anywhere else in the world that I'd be happier than I would be in the mountains. I think there is just something about it that is just, it's crazy. And I'm so jealous that you get to do it, like, you get to do it almost every day.
You know, you're right. I think one of the reasons why people like the mountains is because it makes you accountable. You know what I mean? Like, our trip to Morocco with Connor, Atlas Mountaineering, was for me, it was a great trip. But we had all the right conditions. We had great people. We had awful environment. And we had great, great mountains.
Yeah.
You know, would I want that mountain refuge to be like 5-star, 5G, lovely food? Not really, because you don't come away with it with the same stories, laughing and joking. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the tagine, yeah.
Tagine gate and you know, sort of 15. Do you remember that room that we stayed in? Like 15 people on one mattress.
Next to the toilet.
Next.
Next to the toilet with the guys arguing downstairs. And you didn't to shut up.
Yeah, that was. I had about just as enough as I was going to take with that. Yeah, having a full on argument, weren't they? About 11 o'clock. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's me then. It was funny. I remember Mari, like, I don't know, obviously blokes were a little bit different, but you know, she's on that what, 20? I've never seen a mattress where you can sleep 20 people.
The worst thing was you look under the beds and they're definitely not been cleaned for at least.
Oh,
horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I don't know if people didn't come away with like any sort of diseases or nothing, because it was absolutely, it was just ranking.
Yeah.
It was funny, like all the people in that room and that, like, and it was fairly cold as well, wasn't it, on the night time, but yeah. I don't know, it was it was funny. Nowhere to go, no just, Wi-Fi,
yeah.
You know, one shower with about half a bucket's worth of hot water for like 300 people.
I think that's what I enjoy about it, though, because when you do go to the mountains, or you do go somewhere so secluded,
yeah,
I guess it's all one in your mind. So you've got, you know, you, like you say, you're very accountable to yourself, but it's also everybody else, because I'm on such a high when I'm climbing up mountains, when I'm doing that sort of stuff, that, and I love being with other, because most, or all the people that you normally go on mountain treks with, they're all very similar minded, they're very strong minded people. So the sort of like that, Paul that we met.
Paul Million, yeah, top fella.
You know, I really enjoyed speaking to him. And it's when you just go for a walk, so, you know, someone that you've never met before, and you can go for, I don't know how long that walk was, we was there for hours.
We had a right adventure, what, probably six, seven hours, and it was
six, seven hours.
You know, and to be fair, it passed in a heartbeat, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I'm keen to start, like a networking event, where I think if people from business went out on a weekend, yes,
love that.
Boom, networking, here it comes. And because I've been to plenty of networking events, probably have.
Wait, what did you call it?
Networking.
That's everything against what you're about.
I know, but I can't have net adventure, because it doesn't really spin as well. But I am against it. But I feel, because Paul's done a lot of business and a lot of people have done a lot of business and made a lot of connections. And I'm thinking somewhere along the line there's like a sort of a business sort of retreat, like the Black Sail Hut.
100%, yeah.
But sort of like on a business level, like, you know, first question, do you have a business Facebook page? Yes. Do you class yourself as an entrepreneur? No. Right. Are you a limited company? Yes. Well, okay, you can buy a ticket. Do you know what I mean? What do you sell? Oh, I sell bracelets. Yeah, no, that's not what we're doing here.
But what if they're the best bracelet producer?
Well, as long as they're sort of in the sort of PLC limited company bracket, then yeah.
I can't
deal with people now who are not, like, you know, just if you're in the game, get in the game. Do you know what I mean? You can't swim with sharks if you're not in the water. Do you know what I mean? It's all good saying I love them, but unless you're in there with a nosebleed, you don't really know what it's going to go like. But I'm thinking that along the line, that would be definitely something that would work. Like, get a group of business owners together from across the spectrum and just go on an adventure. And then people are like, you create the bond, which then creates trust. And once you've got that, people will do business with people who they trust.
100%. Absolutely, yeah.
So that's something in the future. And I mean, you know, it's about gaining people's trust, but people buy from people, don't they, before they buy a brand. Do you know what I mean? And I'm very sort of Gary Vee again, jab, jab, hook. Do you know what I mean? Give, give, take. That's the sort of thing. What about anything else? I'll tell you what, you told a really story and I liked it. I'll ask you to tell it again about when you went to the garage and you didn't have enough money to pay that. Go on, tell that one.
So that was after the six months when we done well, and it all sort of fell down. Obviously I needed to earn money. So I was working in a pub in the evenings, then working at Get Me Moving during the day. So,
wow.
So I was working hard, and when you're in that, you know, it was fucking hard, and that mindset where it's just constant, it's work, work, work.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad when you've got that end goal in sight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still, it was tough. It was tough for my body. I'd finish work at 6 and I'd have the work till 7, probably finish at 1 o'clock, go back, wake up at 6. So it was a bit rough. But so I used to earn a lot of my money through tips from people. So I'd try and be as nice as possible to people to get the tips. Yeah. And there was this one time that I had this tip money. I had to go to the petrol station to fill up my car.
Yeah.
And, I had honestly 10p's, 20p's. I think I must have had about £5 in change.
Right.
I got to the guy. I went to pay it and then counted out all this change, honestly, given it. And that wasn't good in itself, just, you know, counting out the
pence. Yeah, yeah, no.
And then I was 5p short, and I just, fuck, I thought I counted. So I had to drive. He didn't let me off, so I had to go drive all the way back to my house to then get the 5p, to then all come all the way back to the petrol station to then pay for the petrol. So, it was a tough time, but I think that it's tough times like that that just make you, one, appreciate what you got, and two, push for the best that you can get.
Wow. I mean, if anyone's after like a humbling story, do you know what I mean? Wherever, you know, after you left me and Paul Million sort of spoke, and Paul spoke very highly of you, and he's like, yeah, that lad in a few years' time, man, he'll be the guy. Do you know what I mean? Paul was like, absolutely no doubt about it. Whatever his aspirations are and whatever he's trying to achieve, that'll be the guy. And I was like, yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah.
No, 100%, mate. But it's a story like that, like a humbling story, you know, eventually wherever you end up and whatever sort of, we had a quick talk about cars and stuff, and whatever you end up getting and end up driving, just please make sure you go back to that garage and just like make sure it's cost about £300 to fill the car, fill the car up, and then go back in with a jar and make sure it's 5p short as well.
I'll go even bigger. I'm gonna buy the petrol station.
Just buy the petrol station and yeah, it's a proper humbling story, and I just thought, do you know what I mean? Unless you've got a story like that, like, or unless something's happened to you, I think, ugh, okay, I get it. Like, sometimes people just see, like, the nice suits, well-presented, nice car, and all the rest of it that comes with that sort of stuff, and they just think, you know, but it was just given. But it was just, I bet he hasn't done anything for it. I bet his mum and dad's rich, or I bet whatever, but
yeah,
people sort of don't, you know. When I see someone driving a nice car, I think, wonder what he does for a living. Yeah, I wonder how many 15, 16, 17 hour days he's put in. Like,
exactly what I think. I love that.
Sometimes it was last week. I was driving the trucks, and I was coming up the A1, and there was a guy in the petrol station, like with a Ferrari, like a black Ferrari, and it was stunning. And I was sort of getting accosted, and I was looking at it, and then like by accident he was sort of like stood near me, and I was just like, "Is that your car, mate?" And he went, "Yeah." I was like, it's mint that, mate. Well done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all I said. Yeah. Well done. No envy, no jealousy, just that maximum respect, mate.
Absolutely.
Just a pure thing of beauty. And obviously, the guy's, you know, he's like a dog with two dicks, and he's driving a Ferrari, for God's sake. He knows that he's doing well. How does all this working hard, building the business, two jobs, how does it affect your sort of personal life, family life? You're not married, are you? So,
no, not married. You know,
what about social life and all that? How's that played into it?
I mean, for me, my social life's completely changed. I used to, so like what you see on Only Ways Essex and stuff, like all these lads going around, you know, when I was younger, I used to be like that.
Yeah.
Until I had the business, and I started just to appreciate money, my time, everything so much more. So I don't really go out. I don't go out anymore. So I don't go out drinking.
Yeah.
When I do, or if I do have a drink, it would be to celebrate a special occasion, something like that. So I like to spend my time doing stuff more active. So again, exercise,
going
to the mountains, just connecting with people, going for a coffee and talking to people. I don't get anything from going out and getting smashed. I don't get anything from that. That doesn't do anything for me. So I've started to do stuff that I actually enjoy myself. So like the walking, the adventures.
The adventures, aye.
Sorry.
it's all right.
And I'm trying to push myself and challenge myself in other areas of my life. Cause I think that obviously working in the business is a constant challenge, but it's good to challenge yourself, I guess, outside of that area as well. So I want to do stuff like Ironmans and marathons, and I don't think I'll ever stop wanting to do stuff like that, because I love a challenge.
There's a 100,000 step challenge coming at the end in the middle of September.
Yeah, I know that,
and I expect to see you on it. I'll just tell you this quick one. I was at a networking meeting last week, and it was one that Paul Million set up.
Yeah,
there's a lad there, 19 year old, right, and he owned 3 houses, and I was like, I was having a chat with him, I was like, wow. I was like, He's like, yeah, I'm looking. Like, basically, we had to do like a bit of an intro into ourselves, what we were there for, what we wanted to get out for. He's like, yeah, I'm looking for investment. I've got 3 houses, blah, blah, blah. By the time I'm 21, I'd like to have 10 houses. By the time I'm 30, I'd like to have 60 houses. And I was just like, 19 years old.
Yeah.
He's at a networking meeting at 8:30 on a Friday night looking for investment to buy houses. And I had a chat with him. And he's like, yeah, the only problem is with, you know, with all this sort of work I do, my grades have, my school grades have took a bit of a downturn, and the teachers are like, as that,
don't worry about
school, mate. Yeah, I was like,
why do you need school, mate? You don't need maths, you're doing all the calculations for your property. I mean, that's all you really need. So just do what you do. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Love that.
And I was just like, don't worry about school, mate. School fails entrepreneurs. I was like, you'll be another level, mate. I said, and congratulations to you, because 19-year-old in a networking meeting on a Friday night, I was like, I said to him, I can't wait to read your book in a few years' time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, thanks very much. Yeah, but proper, like, just hungry, just chasing all these guys and women around the room saying, oh yeah, I've got, this is my plan. This, and like the guy, you know, I was just like, God, where was I at 19? Like, I was in the army, so it didn't really matter. But, you know, that's real hunger, that, you know, not out drinking, not out chasing women, whatever the lad's doing. He was certainly dialed in.
He's hustling.
Gary V 101, I was like, Gary V, I'd love this guy. He'd be like, yes. Yes. Sell your car, get more capital. Johnny, this is going to bring us on nicely, because we're doing really well here with the time-wise.
Yeah.
We're going to, as we always do, we sort of wind down now to the end of the show with 5 whats.
Yeah.
So, the first one, what's the greatest advice you've been given?
So I had to have a think about this one, and I think that the best advice that I've ever been given is just to do, I found it hard to word it, just to do something. Don't think about it too much. So that they say, ready, fire, aim. So you know, you get yourself ready, then just
do it.
And then when you've done it, that's when you can start working things out. Because I think that one of the biggest things that you can do is procrastinate or not do something. And I'd rather live a life where I say, oh yeah, that was a mistake or a failure, because I wouldn't see it as a failure. I'd see it as a learning curve. And I wouldn't want to look back and think, oh, I didn't do that. I wonder where that would have gone. I'd rather have just done it and found it rather than kept it in my brain and kept thinking about what it's done. So it would be just take action. Just do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I was bullshitting about starting a podcast from about January last year.
Yeah.
This year. And it was like, oh, well, do you need this and do you need that? And then I thought, what am I doing here? Just start it.
Yeah.
And whatever goes wrong, just deal with it and improve it week on week. So yeah, here we are with that. Okay, second what? What's on your bucket list, either business or personal?
So business will be, so we've got a 5-year plan for business. Shouldn't go into too much detail.
Yeah,
but,
we have, the
vision is to help every home mover in the UK have a happy home moving experience. So that's the goal for the business. There'll be a number of different avenues that we'll go down to achieve that. For personal life, I want to climb Everest by the age before 30. So, it's always just been, I just want to be at the top of the world.
That's fair play.
The Ironman, I want to do an Ironman. I want to do, is it Sharp Edge with you?
Yeah.
I want to get Sharp Edge done.
Yes.
And I want to have an Aston Martin V12 Vantage Sport.
Why not? Third what? What's your toughest day?
See, again, this is a hard one. The toughest day would be the day when I had to go to the petrol station and I was 5p less. I wouldn't say, I guess that was just a day. That was a long time when I was working at the pub.
Yeah.
That whole part of my life was very tough. And you go in some deep places.
Yeah.
I didn't think, because I'm a positive person, I wouldn't go there. But I did, and it was so hard to get out of it. But yeah, that'd definitely be, I guess, the toughest time of my life.
Fair play. What's the happiest day?
Happiest
so
day.
Far.
So I know. Well, this is the thing. I think I've got so much more to come.
Yeah.
I think the happiest time, I guess, is, again, I can't put it down at chunk, because I think every day is just the best day. However, it would be, if it would be in the mountains, so Tukul, recently went to, well, over Christmas, I was in Ethiopia, and it's just it's just eye-opening. So in the mountains, in the mountains, or driving fast cars. When I'm in a fast car, I just you can't beat it.
Yeah, no, fair play. So number five, what's next for business and personal?
So business, there again, there's a 5-year plan. We would hope would be looking to exit the company in about 5 years. So we'll see how things go. When we exit and when we get, I guess what we're looking for, that will give me a lot more options to do what I want to do. So I want to travel. My goal is to travel the world and explore the world and drive fast cars. That is my, you know, that's my end goal. And what I'll do is when we get what we get from the company, I'll then just look to invest all of it. And then I want to then set the foundations for myself to then be able to do what I want in life. So I don't know what that is yet, but I know that I'll have the foundations to do what I want.
Nah, brilliant, mate. Johnny, that's it, mate. We've absolutely blasted through this, and I hope, you know, I hope there's some people who listen to this who we don't know, who we both don't know,
yeah,
who maybe is a little bit lost and think, do you know what? I've had my petrol station moment. Do you know what I mean? Let's call it that from now on. Let's call it the petrol station moment. It's very, very honest, and that's what we need. We need more of it. Where can people find your business? Social media, and then I can add it to that Facebook page.
Yeah, so business, social media. I mean, business is, the company's Get Me Moving. You can search Get Me Moving on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. My personal one is Jonathan R. Palmer on Instagram and just Johnny Palmer on Facebook. I don't really use anything else. I don't use Snapchat too often or Twitter. So yeah, that's where you find us. Oh, can I quickly say one thing?
Yeah.
We're shortly going to be doing, I said about the Sinclair C5, where we're going to be driving from the top of the UK to the bottom of the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep your eyes out. If you drop me a message, because I'll be coming all the way through.
Yeah, no, that's great, mate. Johnny, been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks very much for speaking to us. What I'll do is I'll get it all sorted and I'll send you all the links tomorrow so you can get it shared out. And we'll just spread the word, man. If you want it, you've got to chase it. And if you can't chase it, find a way to get after it. And if you can't get after it, find a way to trap it. And if you can't trap it, just keep on going, because eventually it'll tire before you tire. And that's just how it is. That's how it is, man. Brilliant, mate. Thanks very much. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers, mate.
See you later, buddy. Bye-bye.